Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Shad here, your host for this weekend's edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. On this weekend's show, we're going to start off with the first half of this show being a bit more focused on some of our shorter-term traders. We're going to talk to a couple technicians, and a fund manager to get their thoughts on where markets are going in the short term. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to look at some more longer-term charts, especially focused on precious metals and the equity, broad equity markets. We are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lyons Share Pro website. Now, Dana, just a quick comment. When we were talking at the start of this year, a lot of people were pointing to the so-called January effect, where wherever markets move, that could dictate the future for the rest of the year. Some people look at the first 5 days of trading in January. Some look at the whole month. Either way, January was pretty good month across the board. That is completely turned on its head in February, and even in March is, well, now looking not a very good month. Still early on, though. Dana, your recap of the January effect. I know that you don't pay attention to the January effect. You do dismiss a lot of the arguments that say January means more for the rest of the year. But this year, already a good example of how it's been turned on its head.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there is, if you look historically every single year, there is some evidence that suggests, you know, so goes January, so goes the year. But interestingly, if you look at every single month, the rest of the months are not that different in terms of, you know, the persistency of performance following, you know, the performance of that given month. It's just that people like to focus on the first month of the year. In our experience and our research, and this is exactly what we spoke about on your show at the time, at the end of January, is that despite the historically strong January this year, we weren't pressing our longs, we weren't putting all our eggs in the long basket based on that strong month, because from our research, January has high an incidence of at least a temporary reversal following the month of January, kind of a head fake as much as it has been an indicator of continued directional movement following. And, you know, that's exactly what we've seen. So January's always been kind of a squirrely month to us. There's one month that we put an asterisk on, you know, kind of studying the data would be January. And it's played out just like that. It's not that we went out and shorted everything at the end of January. That's not the case at all, but we certainly were hesitant about pressing any longs there and more patient about waiting for, okay, if it was a barometer of stronger action to come the rest of the year, well, we'll probably get a better, you know, a better entry point, better opportunity waiting for kind of the reflexive or mean reversion move back down lower to some better entry points than we would be, you know, chasing those highs in January just because January was an up month. So it's kind of, like I said, a squirrely month. And the strategy wherein you're putting all your long eggs into one basket just because January has been strong, that's a difficult strategy to kind of implement, not just from a rational, from an objective data-based point of view, but from a human nature point of view. Because now what do you do? You know, you pressed your longs at the end of January. It's been nothing but down since. And what do you do? Whereas, you know, a more objective way, and more less emotional way, would have been to wait for that reflexive pullback and then say, okay, January is strong. If I think the rest of the year is going to be strong based on that, now is when I'd be doing a lot of the buying.
Yeah, Dana, that's such a solid point, because if people felt that so goes January, so goes the year, they would take the advantage of a pullback like we've seen in the markets in most sectors and really double down on that thesis if they were being objective. And I think it's funny what you mentioned, that if you do studies on other months, you could say, so goes March, so goes the rest of the year, so goes April, so goes the rest of the year. You could look at each month and there'd be an interesting correlation. But I think a lot of people kick off the year, they kind of have that New Year's resolution, and they like to see how the year's going to start and extrapolate that out. But what we like about you, Dana, is that your models are quantitative in nature and technical in nature, and you're looking at patterns of data. So I guess the question we have for you is, what is your data telling you right now about the markets? When we talked last time, you were still kind of in that slightly bullish data from your models. But I think some of that is starting to shift a little bit. We'd love to get an update on how you're looking at the markets setting up.
Yeah, sure. So our model's barely hanging on to a buy signal by a thread, to be honest. Most of our indicators, most of our model components have turned negative again. Again, we've talked about this in the past. A lot of the inputs that go into our indicators that we look at have to do with some money flows and then also breadth. So that's a heavy component to it. And the reason was, you know, even a month ago that we were so positive was that breadth and breadth-related indices and statistics were so solid, were so strong at the time. And we saw that in the indices, whether it's the broader indices or some of the equal weight indices, they were definitely leading, strongly leading versus the cap-weighted or other weighted indices. And we've seen kind of a shift in that. So we've seen breadth kind of tail off, which is certainly a red flag. And we've seen some of those equal weight indices tail off, turn lower versus the cap weighted averages. And that tells us that most of the market, the majority of the broad market, is turning down versus going up. And we want to be aligned with, you know, where the overall market is moving. Because as we've talked about in the past, studies have shown that 70 to 80% of the direction of a stock is based on the direction of the overall market. So if the majority of the market is going down, we don't want to be too aggressive in that scenario. So there's a chance, and we talked about before the show, there's a chance, but it might be the last chance that we do stabilize here and turn up again. I'm not going to throw those chances at the door. But they are getting slimmer and slimmer. And the same thing would go if you're looking at the technicals. You know, I can't say there have been a ton of necessarily breakdowns on the charts within the averages or most of the securities, but they are getting close to that point. So if it's going to happen, I would think that it's going to happen soon, or the bears really take over control of this market again.
So, Dana, just a quick comment on something like the S&P chart. I have the daily chart here, and it's kind of a mess, to be honest with you, at least in my eyes. The S&P is still up for the year, but it has come back off of its highs. And the moving averages that I have up here, the 50-day, the 200-day, even the 400-day, they are all pretty much at the same level. I think they're all within about 2-2.5% of each other, which just kind of shows this, I think, lack of direction. Everything moving average-wise seems to be moving sideways. If we do see some sort of a break, whether it's a breakdown or a breakup, could it be aggressive because everything seems so tightly correlated right now?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point. If we do break here, you think about a lot of, whether it's data or the charts, a lot of things are hanging in the balance right around here. So if we do tilt that balance to the downside and break through that support levels, presumably the data also turns lower. And then you look at the money flows. You know, a lot of the money flows in the market are trend following, at least the futures market. And if we tilt that to the downside, a lot of stops get triggered, a lot of momentum models get turned to the downside, so it could snowball, certainly. So that is definitely a fear right now. Are we there yet? Are we thrown in the towel yet? No, but again, like you mentioned, it is kind of hanging in the balance near here.
Dana, when we talked to you last time, you had talked about initially last year, you know, was the shift from growth to value in 2022. And then that theme had kind of carried over into this year, except for when we saw the rally in Q4 of last year and into January of this year, it was really the really beat up growth tech sector that was getting the bounce because it had been bloodied the worst. And so it bounced the most, had the biggest rally, the relief rally. But now things are kind of in this hanging in the balance mode. What are your thoughts with the growth versus value setup here? And then are you still interested in the value sector? If so, which areas of it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, one of the reasons that we like value so much is that not only did we see kind of that ratio versus growth shift, the long-term shift that began maybe 2 years ago, we saw it accelerate last year in the favor of value versus growth as growth stocks popped. Not dissimilar from what we saw at the 2000 bubble pop, where value took the lead and kind of kept the lead until around 2007-ish. So I think a similar longer-term cycle turn is underway and trend is underway in the favor of value versus growth. So that's what we're probably going to be concentrating as long as that trend continues over the next couple of years. But one of the reasons we like value so much is not just the relative turn, but you mentioned the performance in the fourth quarter and into January, February of this year. We actually saw not just the relative performance of value, we didn't see the mean reversion bounce in the growth, beaten up growth stocks. But even during that rally into January, February, we saw value stocks actually continue to perform well on an absolute basis. So it wasn't just a relative shift, but from an absolute basis, we've seen the value stocks hold up very well. And in fact, we like to track a couple of the indices. They're called pure value indices, and they weed out pretty much all of the growth components of the indices. So when you look at value indices, a lot of them, people might be surprised about, takes components like a percentage of components from growth and value, obviously shifted more towards value. But these pure value indices strip out all of the growth components, so it's better look at what value is actually doing. And whether it's small, mid, or large cap pure value, they all shot to all-time highs or tested all-time highs at the end of January, beginning of February. So it's not just a relative stabilization versus the growth stocks that got hammered last year, but they're actually performing well. They're holding up and actually rallying. So that's one reason. Another reason that we tended to heavily weight value, and we'll probably continue to do so. Now, just like we spoke about the after effects of the strong January, saw the rug get pulled. Well, value stocks have pulled back pretty sharply as well. But that's not an unwelcome development for us. We don't want to be buying things screaming to all-time highs. We'd rather wait till they buy back or pull back towards a breakout point or a launch point. And that's where we're seeing now. So those would continue to be the areas that we'd focus on buying the dips, especially if we are in a longer-term bear market cycle led by the growth stocks, which we think we are. You might be able to survive, even make some money hitting higher highs in those value type areas.
Dana, why do you think tech has held up relatively better or performed relatively better this year when you take where tech started this year? Still up, at least the NASDAQ, around 12-13%, and March still holding in positive territory. It just seems like a bit more money has gone into tech this year.
Yeah, I think that has more to do with what Shad mentioned. You know, it was beaten down so much over the last year. Sentiment was horrendous. What you saw was at the end of or into October, the rush to hedge. What were all the hedges going into? It was the growth names and the tech names. Unfortunately for those hedgers, that's after the horse had left the barn. You know, it's a little too late at that point to start hedging in those areas, and just positioning and sentiment got too skewed in those areas. So I think it was just an imbalance of positioning, which is why tech has held up relatively well, I guess, early this year, and growth for that matter. But if you look at an absolute performance, you're not seeing anything approaching, you know, higher highs or even higher lows in those areas. So I think those will be the areas to continue to avoid, or even to look for an opportunity to short those areas into rallies. So I would not be swayed by, you know, the relative resilience of those stocks early this year. As a matter of fact, I take that opportunity of any rallies in those areas to get out, or even to look for opportunities for shorting or hedging in those areas into rallies.
Well, Dana, if you'd be more interested in shorting some of the growth on rallies and still accumulating the value on dips, inside of the value area, when you're looking at those pure value funds, are there any particular subsectors within there that you really like healthcare, consumer staples, utilities, energy? Is there any component of it that you think has maybe the brightest relative strength compared to the rest of the pack?
You know, if I look at a lot of the components within those pure value indices, they're heavily weighted towards financials, some real estate. I can't explain to you why that would be, an area, a sector to target going forward if we are in a tough bear market environment. But those are some of the more heavily weighted, higher weightings in those areas. And then definitely energy is another area that, from a money flow standpoint, you look at energy has been beaten down for not just the last year, but it actually bounced last year after being beaten down for about 10 years. So if you're looking for an opportunity in a sector that has not, certainly was not responsible for whatever bubble pop last year in the growth space, it would be something like energy, which has been kind of discarded for a long time. And now maybe just a part of that emerging wave towards value that we're seeing in that overall value versus growth ratio.
All right, Dana, we're going to wrap it up here. Very interesting hearing a bit more of these broad comments on the markets. And in all fairness, you have been consistent reading off of this bear market playbook, which seems to be continuing. Again, these markets are still generally up for the year, at least some of them are, but they're looking a whole lot weaker after that February action and now some of that short-term moves just this week in the markets. Dana, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.